On this episode of the Mothman and the Bible Belt podcast, West Virginia 80s pop rock retro band Rewind the Walkman are my guests. We talk Rewind the Walkman's February 17th debut show at the Blue Parrot, 80s music, set list selection, whether Hearts and Wilson should regularly belt out All I Want to Do Is Make Love to You, and British singer Paul Young's deteriorating voice. Coming up next.
Welcome to the Mothman in the Bible Belt podcast with your host, Buck Fantastic.
Girl Scout cookies.
Rewind the Walkman is a West Virginia-based pop rock retro supergroup consisting of Dog Soldier and Gold Town singer Justin Johnson, Dead Face Down and Halen guitarist Chad Fisher, Adam D. Tucker bassist and producer Jamie Schemes on bass and keyboards, and Nathan Shrewsbury of The Big Bad, Irreplaceables, Ghost Flea, and Jerks on drums. Jamie Skeens was unable to participate in the podcast interview. He was on holiday in the south of France. Chad and Justin did the podcast last year before the band had an official name. Rewind the Walkman is debuting at the Blue Parrot in Charleston on Saturday, February the 17th at 9:45 p.m. Their opening act is Petey Bird. The cover is $10. The band encourages folks to come dressed in their best 80s threads. The band is giving away free koozies to the first 75 people through the door, and you can win a $100 gift certificate to Fazio's. Join me, your host, Buck Fantastic, for another exciting episode of the Mothman in the Bible Belt podcast. It's eclectic chit-chat of otherworldly origins. Without further ado, here's Rewind the Walkman. Justin, who came up with the name Rewind the Walkman?
We had this collaborative process. I distinctly remember we were just, all of us were throwing things. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Chad, it was Nathan who, that was Nathan's, right?
I can't remember. Was it Nathan?
I think I wanted to say Rewind Walkman or Walkman Rewind.
Oh, yeah.
But then you came up with Rewind the Walkman.
I think we kind of decided on it in the Sissonville High School parking lot.
Yeah, we did after we shot that video, actually.
Yeah.
Nathan, how did this music project come together?
Well, Jamie had an idea to do a thing about doing an Aussie cover, and I don't know who selected who or who came up with who was going to play on what, or we just kind of all did that, and we had so much fun doing the Aussie cover together. We just decided to keep going and make some videos and record some songs and whatnot.
Let's talk about the music videos that you all have released so far for Rewind the Walkman. Who did it all? I mean, did the band do everything, or did you
basically Jamie?
Yeah, Jamie filmed and edited all of it along with, engineering all the music.
Did you get hurt or run over doing your scene in the Power of Love video, Nathan?
No, it was pretty good, but I think I may have almost fell like once or twice.
Yeah, I think one time you almost fell, and that was it, man. Everything else, you were on it.
Other than that, it worked out pretty good.
Well, I was moving so fast in that Jeep that, it just shows you Nate's skating prowess, how he was able to catch up and snatch a hold of that bumper. I mean, I was going every bit of, like, what would you say, Nate, 5-7 mile an hour probably?
Every bit.
Every bit.
Yeah, we had to do that part over and over. One street down from the police department without the police department seeing us do that.
Was it complicated getting to film Don't You Forget About Me and Sissonville High?
No, not really, because I'm really good friends with the principal there, Gene Smith, And I basically just sent him a text message and told him the idea. He's like, yeah, man, whatever you guys need. So we went there. I think we recorded it in about 3 hours. He gave us free rein to do whatever we wanted, and he was in the video. So that's actually him in the video. And I think he added a lot to it that we never even thought of before. So he played basically himself in the video.
Chad, is there an EP or record in the works for Rewind the Walkman?
No.
Really?
No, not yet. Not yet.
Well, I will interject here. Not necessarily an EP or a record, but there are plans for us to record these illustrious remakes that we're doing, and to maybe release them individually to stream. Hopefully, I don't know if we'll have, you know, ideally we'll have streaming up before the 17th, but I don't know, you know, I don't know if that'll get there or not. We focused really hard in the past 4 or 5 months just on rehearsing the set so we could get it as tight as we possibly could. And so all the other stuff has kind of gone by the wayside, but we're hoping that once we get, you know, the set together and whatnot, that, that we'll be able to get that music, or get, you know, get a website and get the music up available to stream and whatnot.
Justin, thus far, you've released covers of Hungry Eyes, Fire Love, Don't You Forget About Me, Take Me Home Tonight, and Take My Breath Away. What can Rewind the Walkman fans expect from you guys on your February 17th Blue Parrot show?
I feel like it's just going to be a real solid trip back in time. I mean, I'm a big nostalgia guy, and I feel like Nate and Chad are as well. We all reminisce about, you know, time, maybe simpler times. I never want to say better times, because things aren't real bad now for us, but just easier times and things that make us think of memories that make us feel warm and happy. And we want to promote that. I mean, for me personally right now, musically, whether it be, you know, Rewind the Walkman or anything I do, I don't want to be, cantankerous or angsty so much as I want people to have something that makes them feel hopeful, that makes them happy, you know, because collectively, you know, there's a lot of people having rough times out there right now. So I think that you know, that people can expect to come out on the 17th and any show after that and just be ready to have it, just to enjoy themselves.
Can you tell us a little bit about P.D. Bird, your opening act?
Yeah, I've known John, oh goodness, for P.D. for, I think I met him when I was in Morgantown, back when I was playing football at WVU. No, I met him before that. He graduated from Ripley, like I did, and but I got to know him around that time when I was in Morgantown. And John's been playing music. He's been playing for quite some time now. He has a really great following. He puts out a lot of content, and he just really enjoys music. And we just thought it'd be a good pairing, you know, for a first show. I think he seems like he's pretty excited and ready to have a lot of fun with it too.
Chad, will you be rocking out in big 80s hair, a leopard print shirt, and shiny black leather pants at this February 17th show?
Probably not at this one, no. No, be something along those lines, but I think Nathan will probably be the one to have the outfit more along those lines.
Nathan, you're known for playing drums in the punk rock scene here in West Virginia. You played in the Big Bad, Irreplaceables, Ghost Fleet and Jerks, and even rock instrumentalist band Crown the Witch. Is playing 80s covers more invigorating than the music you've been previously accustomed to?
I wouldn't say more invigorating. It's fun to do, you know. I have a lot of fun doing it.
Chad, what guitars do you pull from most playing wise?
That's a good question. Probably Eddie Van Halen maybe, and Steve Vai and Randy Rhodes are my top three guys.
What were you all listening to in the 1980s?
Poison.
Nathan?
All different kinds of stuff. probably a lot of 80s hair metal, but also like I don't know, stuff like Bobby Brown or you know, some of the other 80s.
What about you, Justin?
In the 80s, you know, my roots are somewhat in just pop in general. I mean, if I had to say, yeah, some Poison snuck in there. I mean, in the mid 80s, you know, I was just a wee tot, but there used to be this show program on, I think it was NBC, or called Friday Night Video, or was it Friday Night Videos?
Yeah.
You guys remember that?
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of my earliest experience to music was through that. I remember watching the Sledgehammer video distinctively on Friday Night Videos. And, of course, Super 102 was played in our car quite a bit. So whatever was on Super 102 and that in the mix of whatever was on WQBE at the time, my mom was a big country fan. So just all kinds of stuff. I mean, I was all across the board. Still am.
I loved a lot of 80s rap also.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, me too.
Justin, who gets to pick the songs Rewind the Walkman performs live?
Excuse me.
Is it a democracy?
Yeah, kind of. You know, it ultimately comes down to, you know, these guys can play anything, you know? I mean, Chad can play anything. Jamie's like Merlin. And Nate is just all over the place. He can play anything. So, you know, it really comes down at the end of the day, whether or not vocally it's something that fits well with what I can do and whether I can, you know, I can sing a lot. I can be in a lot of different places vocally, but sometimes things just don't fit, you know? So it's pretty much what a democracy, I'd say. We're just trying to pick whatever we think is going to be best for the show and the band and what people want to hear.
And
what
stuff songs that nobody's heard before live, really.
What songs that you all auditioned for the Parrot show on February 17th didn't make the cut that you all can talk about?
What was the mic? We were going to try to do Beat It. I think that's the only one that we really... Written that right, Justin?
And the Starship tune.
Oh, yeah. Nothing's going to stop us now from Starship.
So why didn't they make the cut?
The range on a lot of those songs are crazy. And I mean, some of them take two people to sing, which they have a lady's voice. And I mean, it gets really, really high on that vocal range to try to hit. And I mean, some of them just don't work out for whatever reason.
Nathan, has there been any knockout, drag-out fights over set list selection?
Oh, no. We all just pretty much agree on the songs we're doing. Whatever works, we know immediately if it works or not.
Chad, in 1990, Hart recorded the Mutt Lang penned All I Want to Do is Make Love to You.
I love that video.
It was one of eight top 20 songs the band recorded that they didn't write themselves in the 80s and early 90s. Anne hates the song, Anne Wilson. Many Hart fans love it. Is it wrong for Anne to not put it in the set? She brought it back in 2017 in her own little solo set after not performing it for nearly 20 years.
No, it's not wrong, because if she goes out and plays live, she's going to have a ton of people that are probably there to hear that song, you know, and a lot of people might only know that song. So I don't think she's wrong at all.
Should prolific songwriters be nudged by record companies to record other songwriters' work?
Should they be nudged by the record companies? I don't have a record contract, but you know, when you sign a contract with a company that's funding, you know, the things that you're doing, it's really hard unless you have, you know, specific language in that contract to have total autonomy over the things that you're doing. So is it wrong? I can say probably not wrong, but it could be, you know, it could be distasteful, or it could be, you know, I mean, just, you know, asking your artist to do things that they're not comfortable with or whatever is just, I don't know. I think it just creates animosity and just makes it makes the product not as good. I think it should be, even cover songs can be organic. You know, I mean, if, you know, a band comes together and they say, well, we want to cover, you know, whatever, or we want to play the song, or we work it or whatever. And it's, it it sounds good and everybody's digging it and into it. I think that's cool. But, you know, I mean, I guess it's not wrong, but I think it can probably not be. I think if a record company wants a band to do anything that they're not comfortable doing, it's probably not a great idea. But then again, I'm speaking, I don't have any, I've never had a record contract. So
is it a good compromise for bands to work with factory songwriters like Heart, Bon Jovi, and Aerosmith did in the 80s, like Desmond Child and Holly Knight?
Go ahead, Chad.
No, I was just going to say, I think probably 99% of bands do work with writers. I mean, I listened to a Desmond Child interview on a podcast last month, and I had no idea that he wrote all of the songs that he actually did over the years. I mean, he got Bon Jovi their biggest hits when they started out, Kiss. There's a lot of pop songs that I never knew he wrote, and you know, so a lot of these bands wouldn't be where they're at without him, I think, you know, and a lot of these ghostwriters. And I know that's big in the country music scene now, too. I mean, probably 9 out of 10 top 10 hits nowadays are not written by the artist.
Did these bands sell out?
I don't think so, because, I mean, you're in the business to make money, you know, if you're on a record label and out touring. So, I mean, the key is to get the biggest song you can out to the biggest, you know, audience you can. And if you have a guy that can, or a girl that can write it and get it where it needs to be, I mean, that's, you know, that's the end game, unless you're not doing it, you know, to be known worldwide.
Justin, will you ever belt out All I Want to Do Is Make Love to You live?
Oh, I would in a heartbeat. I love that song. I remember I bought the tape, that Heart tape. Of course, when I bought it and then heard the song, I loved the song. I just loved the melody, because I definitely, it when it come out, like 1989 probably.
Yeah, Brigade.
Yeah, Brigade. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And my dad is a big Heart fan. He loves Ann Wilson's voice and loves watching Nancy play guitar. And so I remember that video being on MTV, and I love that song. Of course, I had no idea what it was about.
Yeah, it was a serious video, wasn't it? I remember, yeah. It was like them driving around in the rain.
Well, you go back now, you listen to it, and she's hooking up with some dude to get pregnant.
I mean,
yeah, Anne thinks it's disgusting. I think it's a statement. It was banned in Ireland.
You know, I can see where she would think it's disgusting, but I mean, in that situation, you know, I mean, people make, you know, they make very serious and intense, you know, decisions in their life about things. So, but I the song, I love Heart. So, I mean, not that I could do the song justice, but you know, if the guys wanted to do All I Want to Do Is Make Love to You, I'd give it a go, see what happens. Right, Nate?
Oh, we definitely would. Yeah.
Every time you go away, singer Paul Young was big in the 80s and early 90s. In the past 5 years, his soulful, velvety voice has turned into nails on a chalkboard. He screeches through the Hall & Oates cover and all of the songs in his set list. Is it time for Paul Young to hang it up, Justin? It's really bad.
I watched the video you sent me, and it's not that I wouldn't, you know, I'm not going to tell anybody they should hang it up, because that's in each person's decision. And then we can all sit and with social media now, we can go through and watch, you know, in the last 6 months, I've watched Vince Neil, John Bon Jovi, Shania Twain, a lot of new singers from eras long ago sing things that don't sound well. And personally, I think that's why you're seeing the proliferation of cover acts and tribute bands, is because these songs are so great, but we're getting long past, you know, where a time where the people who originally did them can still perform them really well, but people still love to hear those songs. So I think that's, you know, that's why, you know, the stuff that we're doing, the stuff that Hair Supply and just bands, you know, I see bands come across Facebook and social media. And I mean, you'll get like, I think it was last summer up at Adelphia in Marietta, there was like 3 '90s cover acts, and they were all each a separate tribute. It was like Rage Against the Machine, STP, and somebody else, and they were tribute bands. And you know, these bands are really good at what they do, and they get a good crowd because people want to come. They don't have to pay $500 to maybe hear or see a subpar performance, or $1,000. And the tracks are done really well. So should he hang it up? It's up to him. I mean, you know, ultimately,
or just get a vocal coach.
You know, there's something to be said too. I've been in bands, you know, where people, you know, they think, well, let's tune down a half step. It'll make it easier on your voice and things of that nature. And, you know, but when you take away the original aesthetic of the song, you know, sometimes it's more than just seeing the person that actually did it and hearing some semblance of the song that you love. It's some people just want to hear the song in a live setting. So a vocal coach, I would go out on a limb to say that most of these singers have a vocal coach, and that they use the vocal coach. And sometimes, you know, when you get into your 60s and 70s, I mean, sometimes you don't have that high range anymore, and no amount of coaching is really going to bring it back. So you gotta, you know, work to take care of your voice. I mean, my voice has changed a lot since my 20s, but I'd like to think that I've taken somewhat care of it, and I need to start taking better care of it. So
Nathan, who did you model your drum playing after?
Yeah, I wouldn't say I model it after any one person. It's just a bunch of different influences over the years. And I like a lot of different kind of players.
Cher recently filed for conservatorship of her son, Elijah Blue, due to him, and I quote, currently unable to manage his assets due to severe mental health and substance abuse issue. Was Cher wrong to stick her nose into her son's life?
That's a great question for you to answer, Nate.
I don't know anything about that.
I don't think so. I mean, there might be some behind the scenes stuff going on that we don't know about, but I don't know.
His daddy, Greg Allman, he was quite the druggie back in the day.
Yeah.
I just gather Cher doesn't want to see her son go down the same rabbit hole daddy did.
That could be true. Yeah, she might know a lot that the public does not know on that situation, and maybe by trying to be proactive instead of reactive.
Ooh, nice.
Did any of you get to see West Virginia singer-songwriter Sierra Farah perform Fox Hunt on Jimmy Kimmel Live last week?
Yes, I watched it.
What'd you think?
I think Sierra's incredibly talented. Her style of country is not something that I listen to quite a bit, but I did think that whatever that tune, you know, that tune, I think it's her new single. It had a lot of rhythm to it. I was tapping my foot a little bit to it. So, I thought the performance was fantastic, and it was awesome to see. Yeah, absolutely. And that's kind of the shtick. I think, you know, that's kind of the shtick that they're doing. She's kind of like kind of like pulling this modern day Loretta Lynn, which I think is cool. And the performance was great, and I thought the song was good. And it was cool seeing a Charleston girl, you know, being on Jimmy Kimmel.
The past decade saw juicy memoirs by the likes of Grace Jones, Bruce Springsteen, Ruth Pointer, Steve Lukather, and Debbie Harry. Out of those artists, who would y'all like to see a movie based on those tell-alls?
Nate, you were just talking about this the other day. Bruce Springsteen. Yeah.
I don't feel like he would be honest, though. Something tells me he wouldn't be honest.
I read Ruth Pointer's memoir a few years back, and her book made me laugh. It made me cry. She talked about hallucinations she had while under the influence. She and her husband thought that their house was infested with rats, and she didn't know if it was the crack or what have you.
Yeah.
But it was, I don't know. I just thought, I like
probably these the crack stuff.
Yeah. I just like these juicy memoirs. And Anita Pointer's, she wrote a memoir with her brother a few years afterwards because she hated Ruth's book so bad. She released a watered down version of the Pointer sisters' antics. So wow. I figured if you take Ruth's book and Anita's book, you merge them, maybe a great movie of the week. I don't know.
Yeah.
In 2023, the world lost some of the greatest singers and musicians of our generation. Tina Turner and Sinead O'Connor's death stung the worst for me. We also lost Jimmy Buffett, Gary Wright, Robbie Robertson, Harry Belafonte, Steve Hartwell of Smash Mouth, The Pogues, Shane McGowan, David Crosby of The Byrds, and Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, Burt Bacharach, and legendary sax player Mars Williams, who played with The Waitresses and Psychedelic Furs. Whose deaths impacted you all the most last year?
Last year? I don't know how much I would say impacted, but I mean, you know, watching somebody, you know, seeing somebody like Tina Turner pass away. And then I think a lot of, for me, a lot of it is when you hear of certain people who have passed, you know, that are artists, and then you start to hear people talk about them or post or memoriams or whatever, where, you know, that it shows you their body of work. And I think for anything, it's just one of those things where it's, you know, you just start to realize that, you know, time marches on, and, you know, life is long, but it's also very short. And, Tina was, I wouldn't say it hit me hard, but, you know, I'm trying to think, you know, Robbie Robertson, of the band, just hugely influential people, man. And when they're gone, they're gone. And then you realize that even though there may be other stars and other artists and things of that nature that are very influential, you know, there's still a piece of the pie that's gone. And you realize that they'll never release new music, and that what you have is what you have, and that's their legacy. So, I mean, for me, I mean, I don't know about the rest of the guys, but
Chad, Nathan, y'all want to chime in?
Man, nobody on that list. I mean, you know, a few years back, Eddie Van Halen was a huge one for me. That's still hard to believe that one of the ultimate guitar gods is, you know, gone. I did get to see him live once, which was cool, but it sucks I won't be able to meet him, though. I always try to meet all the heroes guitar-wise that, you know, that were huge influences. But I did get to see him in concert, and I do have his autograph, so that's cool.
Nathan, I asked Justin and Chad this the last time, but I already know their picks. Who do you want to see in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame that's not already there?
I'm not sure. I'm not even, I don't even know who didn't get in or whatever. I don't even really think about it.
I'm just going to say this again. It's a travesty that Chris Cornell is not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in some way, shape, or form. That's it. I don't care who else gets in from here on out until Chris Cornell gets in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Justin, is it possible to be a good musician and be completely and totally sober?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, for your whole life?
No, just playing music.
Yeah, I think so. I think, absolutely, I think so. Yeah. I mean, for the most part, I'm pretty sober. I'm pretty sober now, and I think just about everybody in the band's pretty sober for the most part. I mean, if you're talking about like not touching anything, but I think, you know, I know we can have vices like, you know, alcohol and drugs and things of that nature, but you know, you can also throw food in there and just taking care of yourself and your body, period. I don't think that you have to be blasted out of your mind to write a great song. I don't think you have to be depressed and in despair. I know a lot of great music comes from that stuff, but I don't think that it's a requirement or necessary to do that.
Chad, does Rewind the Walkman have any dates beyond your February 17th Blue Parrot show planned?
We have one date booked so far, but we probably won't announce that till later on in the spring. But the plan is to definitely add more, and we've had some good offers so far. We're just trying to get this first show out of the way to get everything lined out and, you know, kind of start from scratch with it and move forward.
So what new music are you guys listening to at the moment?
Man, that's a tough one. I got into a new band recently when I saw them open up for Kiss a few months ago. It's actually Paul Stanley's son, Evan's new band called Amber Wild, and he's the vocalist and rhythm guitar player, and they are really, really, really good. This is their first tour opening up for Kiss on Kiss's farewell tour. And they have some really cool songs with some cool melodies and choruses and just some good straight up rock stuff that I've been into a lot.
Is Kiss really going to retire?
Yeah, I believe so. Because I think it goes back to the thing you were talking about, the voice deal, you know, and those guys are like 70 years old. And a lot of these people that have voice issues too, like Paul Stanley from Kiss, they've had surgery. And it's just not the same again. And, you know, like you said, these guys are getting older, and then plus with the vocal surgery on top of that, it's just, you know, you can't do the same thing you used to do. But yeah, they went to the extremes this time with everything. And I really think that they're done touring. I think they said that they might, you know, the band's not over, but just the touring band's over. So they've got the Avatars coming out in 27 and different things like that. So I think they'll do basically everything but tour.
I want to thank my special guests, Rewind the Walkmans, Chad Fisher, Nathan Shrewsbury, and Justin Johnson, for coming on the Mothman and the Bible Belt podcast to discuss their music and their first live show as a band. Oddly enough, a day after we recorded the interview, it was announced that Heart and Cheap Trick are playing the Charleston Coliseum on August 23rd. I cannot confirm whether or not All I Want to Do Is Make Love to You will make the set. I'm guessing not, but I'm sure that show, just like Rewind the Walkmans' February 17th show, will be killer. MIA bassist Jamie Skeen promised he'd do the podcast at a later date. He's the guy behind that intro and outro music for the Mothman and the Bible Belt podcast. Rewind the Walkman is on Facebook and YouTube. For Mothman and the Bible Belt podcast outlet updates, guest bios, episode breakdowns, and links to social media, please check us out on the web at www.mothmanandthebiblebelt.com. Thanks for listening.